Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we will...
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were to run a full fast. We had an explosion, and we are defending, and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened, and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
In the councils of government, we must guard against
the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
All right, everybody, how you doing? Joseph Gibson here, broadcasting live at 6:05 p.m. on the East Coast. I'm broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. I hope everybody's doing fine tonight. Hope everybody's well. And if you missed the short introduction there, I apologize. But I've been trying to contact. I try to contact people throughout the introduction to see if, you know, they can get in here and get on the phone line here tonight. And all you have to do is press the number one. And you will be heard, and you will be connected live. I do connect people live without going, putting you into a screening room and saying, hey, what do you want to talk about? Who are you? No, we are 100% live. All I do is I see the number one pressed, and I see a few already that have already pressed number one, and I will get to you after my intro. I just connect you. That's what I do. I just connect you. And you'd speak. And if you're going to be a jackass, I hang up. Or if you got something to share with the program, I will connect you live. And I welcome all comments. I do. I welcome all comments, and I like to hear stories. I like to, you know, and the past couple of weeks, we've really connected with a lot of different people across the country. We really have. It's been an awesome thing. It's been a great thing. And halfway through the show tonight, after I get to some of the callers, I'd like to bring Dr. Peter Ventura on tonight. I have some biblical questions to ask him, and we want to know why the Bible is God's word. We want to know. We want to know why the Bible is God's word, and it's the authority that we should use the Bible, the King James Bible. And I'd like to have that question answered here tonight also. Well, hopefully, time permitting, we can get to Dr. Peter Ventura, and he's out in San Diego, California. All right, but we've got a lot to talk about here. First of all, I want to promote something. The March for Life, April 11th, the March for Life. We are calling for a school walkout across the country, okay? A walkout across the country for all the millions of children that have been murdered by abortion. 60 million plus since Roe versus Wade. I am calling upon my listeners here to promote this march for this walkout for schools. And look, I have family members that are in school, and I want them to do something. I want them to say, hey, let's have a walkout in our school. Why not? We can have a walkout against the Second Amendment, right? We can have a walkout. Well, that's right. It was to remember the victims in Florida. That's what they were told it was for. But if you go to the Women's Rights Organization websites, and you go to Louis Farrakhan and all those other right-wing leftist group nonsense bullcrap, you will see that it's about taking our guns away from us. Okay? That's what it was about. But we do have people, and Glenn Beck actually had a show this morning, and actually, to be honest with you, I've been in contact with the Glenn Beck show, and I'm planning on maybe getting one of his producers or even he on this program in the next few weeks, believe it or not. And because I brought this up a few weeks ago on my program, and Glenn Beck brought it up actually afterwards, and someone recommended, believe it or not, my show to his show, okay, and he's broadcasting in California this week, so this is great, so, because alternative media and we need to work together everybody, and I believe shows like Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck, we are out there for the truth, and we are working together. And for this, we need to work together. We need to make sure that the schools out there recognize the all the millions of babies that have been murdered since Roe versus Wade, 60 million plus. And I believe a pro-life school walkout needs to happen. And we need to stop abortion now. We need to stop it. We need to stop abortion. End it now. Today. Enough. Like they screamed, right, in Florida. Trump! Shame on you, Trump! Stop the gun violence! Right, remember? And they all had this big school walkout with these professionally made signs. Gun control! Like it was a gun. You know, the AR-15, that mean, bad AR-15. Oh, it's so evil. Oh, wow. I mean, if you have an AR-15, you better make sure you keep it locked up, because sometimes it may sneak out at night and shoot accident. You never know, right? That's how stupid people really sound when it comes to gun control. Or how about the mayor in New York? You don't need 30 bullets to shoot a deer. You don't need 30 bullets to shoot a deer. No, but you need 30 bullets to shoot a tank, you jackass. That's Cuomo up there in New York, the communist bastard that he is. Non-American. He should be held in contempt of the Constitution. But anyway, I'm just rambling on here and I'm going off because I'm just so pissed off. I mean, let me tell you something. If you don't have the right to protect yourself in this country, you are screwed. You are screwed. Flat out. All right? So this student out there in California, that's organized. You need to look it up. Look up the Glenn Beck show this morning, May 22nd this morning. I wish I had the names of everything in the website here written in front of me. I don't have it. Maybe someone could post it in the chat room. But there's a student out there in California that is organizing a march, a Walk for Life march, and this would be great. It's something awesome. It's something awesome. It really is. Now, there's another subject I also wanted to bring up on a personal matter before I get to callers here. And we are nationwide, and we've got callers across the country here. But I do bring in sometimes personal subjects that may affect even people out there, and that's family. And tonight, I just want to report on one of the supporters of this show, my grandfather, Joseph Gibson. He was with this show in the beginning. He helped support this show in the beginning and called in many times. He lived in Florida at that time. Okay, he lived in Sebastian, Florida. And he would call in. And if you go back and listen to the archives, he would call in. And, you know, and you could tell through the archives how maybe things were changing for him. He may have, you know, when you get older, what happens? You lose your mind. You start becoming lonely and forgotten about. And your mind begins to be lost. And you start rambling on about things and whatnot. But anyway, we did a powerful show here about 5 months ago, I think it was. It was back in October, I think, or September, I'm not sure. And it had to do with my family, a lot with my family. And Joe in Sebastian, Florida, reached out to members on this show who are family members, because I have a lot of family members that support this program and they listen in, okay? And he reached out to them and said, I cannot stay where I'm at any longer. I need help. I cannot stay here. I cannot take care of myself. I'm old. I'm falling down. I need help. I'll pay my own way. I don't care. Well, anyway, one of the family members from Meriden, Connecticut, stepped up to the plate and funded Joe's, which this member that stepped up is the son. He's one of the sons of Joe in Sebastian, Florida. So that would make him my father, in case anyone's wondering. All right. He stepped up to the plate and paid for Joe to come up to Meriden, Connecticut and stay with him. Organized a room for him, built a room for him, had everything set up for him, and got him there to stay with him. Well, what always happens between family members, well, actually Americans, okay, and we've talked about this on this show plenty of times. Why, you know, only we Americans fight over money, don't we? Well, money became an issue, and responsibility issues became an issue, and pointing fingers became an issue, okay? Now, the people that were in charge of the situation, one of the supporters also, Mike out in the state of Wisconsin, and Jeannie, who came on this show one time from Wallingford, Connecticut, okay? And now, we can't point fingers at Mike out in Wisconsin, okay? Mike out in Wisconsin is not in good health, okay? He's called into the show, and we've talked about this. He's not in good health. If it was 30 years ago, Mike out in Wisconsin, I believe, would have straightened this situation out. He would have hopped in his car and drove out to the state of Connecticut or drove down to Florida to fix the situation. So look, folks, you got to look at this situation here. Mike out in Wisconsin is not in good health. He is unable to take care of certain – he has to take care of his own health, for God's sake, instead of worrying about other people's health. I'm not saying he's 100% innocent. I'm saying, though, Mike out in Wisconsin does have to take care of his own health. I have to put that out there. The man is sick. I mean, he's got heart disease. He's got diabetes. He's getting toes chopped off. I mean, how could you hold anything against him? You know? But yet, a family squabble has happened now to get to the bottom line and get quick here because we got a lot of issues here to talk about. All right, and I just wanted to throw this out there because I promised some people tonight I would do that. All right? I called Joe out tonight, my grandfather, and I want to say something here right now. After 5 minutes of talking to him, he forgot who I was. He didn't even know who I was after 5 minutes of talking to him. I was telling him, look, we'll help you any way we can, blah, blah, blah. He said, who are you? I don't know who you are anymore. Who are you? Get off my phone. That's what he said to me. That is something that has happened to my great-grandmother when she was put into a home. Okay, and I remember this growing up. You see, my great-grandmother, who lived in Wallingford, Connecticut, was fine. She was sick. She needed help. But once she was put into a home, she lost her mind. Who are you? Now, I want to throw this out there to everyone before I move on. Have any of you ever been secluded in someplace with no contact with anybody? All your family's dead. Your brothers and sisters are gone. Your mother and father's dead. You have still sons and daughters out there, but they're dividing your money up, okay? All right. Or I'm not saying my family's doing that. I'm just saying that's what usually happens with American families. They're dividing up to all the assets, okay? And you're all alone. And you're 85 years old, 86, 87. You've lived your life. What do you think is going to happen to your mind? Let me tell you something. I was secluded at one time. When I worked for the government, and when I got into trouble and made a deal with the government, I was secluded. I remember being put into a concrete box and sitting there for 6 months, okay, with no contact with anybody except someone looking through the window to make sure I was there. You start to lose your mind, okay? You start talking to yourself. You start remembering things throughout your life. Now, I was a young man. I was stronger. I was, you know, but imagine when you're 87 years old and you're put into a room with nobody who cares about you. You can't leave. You don't have permission to leave. You can't get in your car and drive away. You have no control over your funds anymore. Your family's spending all your money. What do you think that does to a mind, to the mind of someone who is 85, 86, 90, 95 years old, okay? What do you think that does to that individual? You start to say, hey, you bury those thoughts, and you go crazy. I've seen it. I've seen grown men 30 years old go crazy from being locked away and being secluded, okay? I've seen it through my own eyes. So tonight I spoke to my grandfather, and like I said, 5 minutes later, he forgot who I was. I had to hang up the phone because all he did was start yelling at me. I don't know who you are. Why are you calling me? Why are you harassing me? I had to hang up the phone. I hung it up. I was actually calling him to ask him if he'd like to call into the radio show. I can't. He started yelling at me. Okay? So those of you out there who are hearing me that have a capability of getting this individual out of seclusion, you need to do something. You need to do something, all of you. Okay? And I'm not pointing my finger at one individual. I'm just saying, family needs to do something. And maybe it's too late. Maybe you can't. Maybe you can't. This is why you don't put your family members in a convalescent home. This is why you don't put your family members, your fathers, your mothers, your grandparents, in a home so they can be treated like aliens by people who don't care about them while you are out there spending their goddamn money. You should not do that. They took care of you when you were young, whether you liked the way they did it or not. They took care of you. Now it's your turn to take care of them. I know there's every single situation is different, and everyone has a different situation when it comes to their family, but I could tell you right now, a lot of people could relate to what I'm talking about right now. Anyway, back to the program here tonight. I just wanted to open up that right there and voice my opinion on what I had to say right then and there. You know, it was pretty sad to hear my grandfather not know who I was, but 3 months ago he was willing to, he just wanted to get out of where he was. I think he was maybe better off staying where he was, you know, because now he doesn't have a mind anymore. Now he doesn't have a brain anymore. He's gone. And it's probably the best thing for them. Save them and send them over to the, you know, we'll talk about the Bible later maybe. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. All right, anyway, first caller here. I've got to get to my callers. And listen, we could talk about anything tonight. Nobody has to talk. I just wanted to do an intro tonight. That's all I did. All right, first caller, the whole time is 17. Wait, I got 22 minutes here. All right, 678, you're second. 336, you're first. Go ahead. 336,
yeah,
617, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Welcome to the program.
Okay, yeah, good. I'm glad you got me first because I actually have a prior engagement I got to get to here in a few minutes. We're doing a benefit dinner for some veterans and stuff at the Moose Lodge, and we're actually doing a big whole spew of things for him, so we're actually having a rehearsal on how to do it, so I got to get in here in just a minute. I just did pull up when you pushed that button, so that's a good time. And I'll tell you something that's really gets under my skin. It was last night. I was laying on the couch watching the 11 o'clock news, getting ready to go to bed, up rather late actually, and normally I'm in bed by 9, and they was talking about a murder in Greensboro, and the murder weapon was a fully automatic handgun. Oh, my God, what a bunch of freaking nonsense. They're taking this stuff too far now. I mean, every time you turn around, they're labeling stuff like this to put in people's minds that things that they aren't. I mean, you know, what's going to next happen next? Are we going to start banning spoons because they're making people fat? I mean, you know, there's got to be a stop to this. And the more vocal people are, the better. And I actually seen a couple students across the United States that actually spoke up and spoke out about the walkout from the last week. And how everyone else was wrong for walking out. They didn't even know what they were walking out for. I seen one situation where the parent told the kid asked if he could walk out and for gun control. That's what it was about, is what the kid told the parent. And the parent was like, well, yeah, I don't care if you do a walkout and protest that, but why? What are the current gun laws you're protesting? And the kid couldn't answer. I don't know. Well, I'm a typical kid. I don't know. So anyway, make a long story short, the parent said, no, if you're not going to educate yourself on what the current issues are or what the current laws are and what it really is about, then no, you can't walk out. And so then I seen another story, one more quick story was a child actually got suspended for refusing to walk out. He got suspended from school for refusing to walk out. Because he was pro Second Amendment.
Oh my God.
And
really?
I'd have to go back and look to be sure, but it actually happened. I think it might have been right here in North Carolina. It was somewhere down south, I know that. And he got kicked out for that. And you know, it was a one day suspension or something. But the point is he got suspended. You know, and the teacher actually wrote down on the suspension slip, failure to follow directions multiple times. You know, so they didn't.
Wow.
The kid said he kept refusing to go out. He didn't want to do it, so they suspended him. And that's where schools are going nowadays. They're, a relative of ours was attacked on their Facebook for posting their opinion about outlawing bridges since the bridge collapsed and killed some people. And all these little kids started attacking her about this. And I said, oh my God. I said, shame on you. I mentioned, I'm not going to give her name out on the air, but I said, shame on you for having your own opinion. Shame on you for doing it on your own personal Facebook page. I'm sorry, you know, sorry you aren't brainwashed like the rest of the liberal children are, you know. And people just got to start speaking out and speaking up about it, because there's more people out there that are tired of the bullcrap going on, but they're afraid and they bite their tongues because of the repercussions. But if you don't have nothing to lose, why not? Speak up. I mean, you know, like the box bomber down there in Austin, Texas. You know, are we going to start outlawing boxes now? You know, Alex Jones was on his list, too, of potential targets. But they won't say what motivated his stuff. They got a 25-minute video of his confession and everything. They won't release that information. You know, they got to wait so they can twist it in a way to make it, you know, the guy more of a maybe a right-handed right-wing monster more than what he is, or you know, it's stupid. The media is purely trying to brainwash America, and they're starting young now with the schools also. But anyway, go ahead, get to your next caller. That's my point. So I'm gonna go in here and do some good for the country.
All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's good. Hopefully you'll stay on the line. You don't have to continue to call in. But, yeah, that's great. That's great. Just stay on the line, though.
I'll mute myself, and I'll stay on as long as I can.
That's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that good opinion tonight. I appreciate your call. I appreciate everyone's call. That's awesome. And I've got a couple callers here on the line here, and I've got 530. Your area code 530-521, and then I've got 678-373. So you're next, and then after you, excuse me, folks, 530-521, and then we'll move down the line of callers when they press 1, okay? So we'll just move down the line. Be fair. Everyone gets a voice tonight on this program. Just be patient, and you will get a turn. All right, 678, welcome to the program. Who are you, and what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, it's me, Justin.
Justin,
can you hear me
how
all right?
Are you, Justin? Yeah, you called in last week. I'm glad you called in tonight. What's on your mind tonight? I hope you listened to my intro. What do you think about my intro?
Yeah, I did. I wholeheartedly agree with you, and you know, I think it's really interesting perspective because you know, I've never really thought about it like that before, but we really are treating our elderly like they're disposable. And, you know, it, like what you said really kind of opened my eyes to that. I mean, I'd never really thought about that before. And, I mean, it was just really insightful. I totally agree with you because, I mean, you know, like my situation's by no means comparable to being put in a nursing home or being put into jail. But I can say that ever since I started, I guess you could say, talking about the things that I started talking about, I've been socially excluded in a way. And I can just relate. Like, I know how society is. You know, society has a way where whoever's got the upper hand, if you say something that goes against their narrative, you know, they can push you out. And, you know, I got so caught up in that, you know, I never really thought about the fact that, you know, we're just treating elderly people like, I mean, like they're unnecessary, like they're expendable. Like, it's like, okay, well, you're old, you know, we can put you in a nursing home now. And like, that's the way it ought to be. And yeah, I mean, it's not right at all. I totally agree with you. What I wanted to get to, I wanted to mention a man named Mark Taylor, who is a retired firefighter from Orlando, Florida. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this guy other than the fact that he authored a book called The Trump Prophecies. And anybody who believes in God and believes in the Lord Jesus, I highly recommend you look this guy up on YouTube. He has, well, it's not videos that he's done, but he's done interviews with a bunch of people. And, you know, I throw his name out there so you can look him up and just draw your own conclusions. I'm not going to throw any kind of opinion out there, but I think it's really important that I at least throw his name out, because this guy's made a lot of predictions that have come to pass. And, you know, this guy, he's just a retired fireman. He's a very humble man. He doesn't call himself a prophet or anything like that. He's never been to seminary school or college or anything like that, but it does appear that the Lord's given this man word. And, you know, I'm not going to say whether the Lord is or not giving this man word. I'm just saying, look this guy up on YouTube and check his videos out and, you know, decide for yourself. I mean, you know, I think that that's the least that, you know, I can do for this guy. But another thing I wanted to get to, I want to talk a little bit about the King James Bible. I definitely think it's
then this will be your show. Hang on, my friend. This will be your show in a little bit, my friend, because I'm going to bring Dr. Peter Ventura onto the program. And he's going to talk about the King James Bible. So maybe I need to hold you off right there. good. Okay, good. Let's get to the next. Just hang on, Justin. Stay on the line, please.
Okay, I will.
And then let's get to 530. He's been waiting a while, too. I apologize. 530, 521, what's on your mind? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Justin recommended this show to me. It sounds really good. I'm 50 years old. I'm a libertarian. My name is Duncan. And I think, you know, I mostly listen to liberal radio, and I peruse all the liberal things. They have a really concerted effort with propaganda, you know, and I think there has to be some kind of thing down on the right. Facts really don't matter to people. You know, people don't want to hear, they've been propagandized their whole life. And, you know, I think we need to get some kind of thing that will appeal to people to get them to see logic. Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, one way is listen to my show. You know, my show. I don't make any money. My brother, I don't make any money. I pay for this show because, you know what? I care about my people out there, and I like I give everyone a voice. You know, I'm not out there saying I got 10 seconds. I got to get to my commercial break. I got 90 minutes, and I want to hear from you. So go ahead, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. I understand that, but it doesn't seem to be very effective in converting people. That's all I'm saying. You know, I witness these liberal groups, and it's kind of an echo chamber. I mean, people that agree with you, do you get many leftist callers?
Well, yes, I do get leftist callers. You're absolutely correct. I do. If you've listened to any of my archive shows, yes, we've gotten into race arguments on here, gay issues. We've gotten into. I've been on this network now for 2.5-3 years, and yes, we've gotten into big debates. I've interviewed many different types of people. I've interviewed prominent politicians, and I've gotten into arguments with them. I've called sheriff's departments. Yes, we do. It's not just people who agree with me, sir. Trust me.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Not just people who agree with me.
Do you think you're having any success with getting logic through to these people?
Well, I think 4,000 to 5,000 hits on my show every Thursday is pretty good. And talking to people in North Vietnam, missionaries, talking to people in Africa, talking to people in the country of England, interviewing the Prime Minister of Canada, am I having success? You tell me.
Well, that's certainly a good start, and I'll be recommending people to your show. I'll let your next caller get on, and thanks for having me. I'll be listening.
Well, thank you very much. I'll mute you, and you can come on. You sound like you're very informative, informed, and I you can stay on the line. And I want to get to Dr. Peter Ventura onto the show. He's from Imperial Beach, California, and he said, hey, you know, who do you talk to? You know, are we popular? What do you think, guys? Press one out there. Come on, supporters. Tell me, are we popular or what? Have we not reached people around the world today? I want my supporters out there to jump in.
We definitely got some diverse voices
on the show.
We're out there.
We're not CNN. We're not Fox News. Thank God, because they're on the decline. But I got to get to Dr. Peter Ventura. I want to jump in here, and you know, and he talked about left the people on the left. I challenge people on the left to come onto this program many times, actually, and we've had some very, very hardcore debates. But sometimes it ends up in a shouting match. And you see, I'm the type of guy where I say, hey, I'll let you talk, and I don't like to cut people off, you know. But let's call Dr. Peter Ventura in San Diego, California, directly across the country. And my friends out there, please press 1 and let this guy know that we're out there. We're out there understanding the times in which we live in today. That's the title of this show. Let's call Dr. Peter Ventura. Let's get him going here. All right. And we'll call anybody for you. So I want to let you know that right now.
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Peter Ventura, how you doing? Joseph Gibson here, your friend. And I've got a couple skeptics on the line here tonight wanting to know if we're going to make an impression on people out there. And Dr. Peter Ventura, I've called upon you a few times to talk the Bible, to explain biblical knowledge. You're a pastor. You have over 30 years of theology under your belt. You're a pastor. You have a church out there in Imperial Beach, San Diego, California, and I do have a caller on the line tonight that's interested in learning about the King James Bible. And today in this country, Dr. Peter Ventura, we're seeing something happen. We listened to those children that were shot up in the school in Florida, and they said thoughts and prayers are not going to help. They said prayers are not going to help. That's what the kids out there believe, these children out there, these millennials. You know, they believe socialism is going to work, but I don't want to talk about that tonight. But tell me, how is this country falling away from God, and what's the impact, and how can you tell me that the Bible is the true word of God that we need to get back to in this country to save this country and have an awakening? Or are we just fighting a lost cause, and the church is actually drying up and going away, and we're going to have anarchy, or we're going to have explain your theological point here on this. You know where I'm going, because we spoke prior on this privately.
Well, I think that you look at the history of countries like England, and England started going down the tubes when they abandoned the King James authorized version of the Bible for the Revised Version and other versions of the Bible, when they abandoned the true word of God. And so America did the same thing. They abandoned the true word of God, and they started using these perverse Bibles, which brought in perverse teachings, which watered down the word of God, which destroyed the morals that God had taught the people. There's a moral standard. There's a lawgiver. We can't legislate morals. I mean, the government is in place to restrain sinners, not Christians. Christians should naturally be doing what they're supposed to be doing because they love the Lord and because they believe the word of God, because they believe the moral standards and the moral lessons as taught by God. Now, one of the problems is if you look at our schools, so you don't have to blame the Bible, you don't have to blame God, and you don't have to say, well, look, we're getting away from God. We can see that. The problem is we need to see where we started getting away from God, and we started to get away from God when we started pulling the Bibles out of our schools, and we started allowing people to teach a theory called evolution. And the theory called evolution teaches that survival of the fittest. And so based on that theology, which was a lie, evolution, that's what we ended up with World War II, because Hitler based his Nazi philosophy on evolution. And so now what they've done is they're teaching our children in our schools for a complete generation and a half that we are from animals, we came from animals, and we're going to die. And there is no future. There is no hope. So eat, live, and party today, because tomorrow you die. And when you teach a generation a philosophy like that, then of course they're going to come out and say in Parkland and places like that that prayer doesn't help.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Dr. Peter Ventura, and you made a key point there where it talks about prayer in schools. Prayer in schools, since prayer was removed from schools in the late 1950s, if you look at the schools, what has and now I don't want to get into integration and stuff and get into a racial debate here, but if you look at the 1960s and the 70s and look what happened to our schools, taking the Ten Commandments out of courtrooms across the country. We still hear about that on the news. Removing our monuments across the country. That's a big thing now. The Confederate monuments. Confederate statues that are jumping off their planks and going out and killing people in the middle of the night. They're so evil, we got to remove them because they teach hatred. You know, since we removed prayer, though, from our schools, what have we seen? Our schools go in decline. And you made a key point. You cannot legislate morality. You cannot. And it is up to us, like the founders of our country stated from the very beginning, it is up to us to put our government in check. Okay? And I remember watching after this latest school shooting that has sparked a national debate on gun control, which I don't understand why. Because the guns are not the problem. The people are the problem. And, you know, guns have been in our culture since we landed on Plymouth Rock, okay? Guns have been here. And that's never going to change, and you're never going to change that. We are founded on God, guns, and country, you know, and that's a fact, and there's nothing you're going to do about that. Now, if we don't have foundations in this country, Dr. Peter Ventura, how can the righteous stand? How can the righteous stand? And we see that, Dr. Peter Ventura, but it's got to start with you, the pastors. And I'm calling you out, Dr. Peter Ventura. How are you pastors addressing what's going on with our moral fabric out there with our country today?
Well, what we're doing, and we believe you start at home, in your home, and then you work into your community, and from the community you work out. I mean, that's what Jesus told his disciples. Start at Jerusalem, and then Samaria, and then out into the world. And so start in your own backyard. And that's what we do. We have community outreach here. We have a youth group. We have a prison ministry involved in our church. We have a lot of local people. We're fortunate to be in a place where we have a lot of people coming from all over the world here, because this is one of the largest military installations in the world. In this area, and there's a lot of housing and a lot of men coming in and a lot of people going out, people bringing their wives from different countries and their families, and so we have tourism from around the world here too. So we have a unique spot here to work with, where we teach the Bible. We teach verse by verse, scripture by scripture. We preach it. We name sin, sin. We don't whitewater it. We're not preaching something that's going to pat you on the head and make you feel good, and then you can go live like the devil the rest of the week. You know, we preach with conviction, and we bring the message that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us bring first, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
But Dr. Peter Ventura, I have to say this right now. I like what you're saying, and I agree with it, but I'm going to play devil's advocate right now. You're losing the battle. Our country.
Well,
I can't win the war.
I'm not going to win.
Our country is falling away.
Well, a war is not won in one battle. A war takes many, many battles. And why you don't win every battle, we know the outcome. It's written. We will win the war. And so where we are in time, having an understanding.
Okay.
Having an understanding of the times in which we live.
We got lag. We got a little lag here, and we're cutting each other off. We got a little lag here. Dr. Peter Ventura, I had Justin on the line here, and he may have some questions for you. But before I bring Justin on the line, Justin's a new caller. He's you haven't spoken to him before, and we got a bunch of new callers on the line here tonight. Tell me, Dr. Peter Ventura, why is the King James Bible, the King James Bible, the authentic word of God that we should go by, and what pastors are using, should be using across the country? And tell me, you know, we have a Catholic religion that doesn't use a King James Bible. We have, I don't want to jump all over the place, but I know there's not enough time for you to answer all those questions. But the Catholic Church disagrees with you. You know, they believe in Mary, you know, the rosary beads, taking communion. And you as a Baptist disagree with that. Can you explain why you're the Baptist and why the King James Bible is the foundation of this country and what we should go by to get right with God? Because God says, exalteth the nation that is righteous, and he will heal our nation if we awaken ourselves. And the proof is in the pudding, folks. You know, I mean, all you got to do is look at history. You know, so Dr. Peter Ventura, can you answer that question for me?
Well, I certainly will try to give you the answer to that. Number one, God has made a promise in Psalm 12, 6, and 7 that he would preserve his word. It's not up to the Lachman Foundation, Nelson Publishing, or any church. It's up to God. God must be true to his word, and that's a promise that he will preserve his word. So we do have a preserved word somewhere on in the world here. So now we have to look and see the different manuscripts, and what did the apostles use? Well, the apostles used manuscripts that were of the Syrian text. There are the Syrian texts, there are the Alexandrian texts. There are those that take and those that go give. And so you run into the problem is that, well, which manuscripts are the correct manuscripts? Well, all you have to do is look at the evidence. The evidence speaks for itself. The Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, which is used in the Vatican and most New Bibles, New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witness and other Bibles, those two manuscripts themselves disagree with each other in over 2,000 places just in the New Testament. Okay? So we have a promise. There were seven steps to the King James Bible and seven steps to the English language. And English is the seventh world language. Why, you can't fly into this country if you can't speak English from another country. So that's why even now they have... But, so we have to know the difference. Now, we're Baptists and we say we're Baptists. We don't say we're better than anybody. The true Baptist is following in the footsteps of the apostles. All right, Catholicism and the Church of Rome says that they're the first church and the authentic church, but the truth of the matter is that that's not so, because there was a church in Jerusalem 300 years before the Catholic Church even showed up, and that's the church the apostles came out of, and that's the doctrine that the Baptists follow. And I hope that answers some
of
the
questions. So are you telling me? Yeah, it does. So you're telling me that the Pope is actually a farce? It's a farce? The Pope is actually a farce?
Well, what I'm telling you is that I believe the book. If you're not teaching the book, you're not teaching anything. So if what you're teaching the people is not part of the book, the Bible, then what you're teaching the people is not correct.
No, that's not answering my question, Dr. Peter Ventura. Is the Pope a farce? Is the Pope the Holy Father of the Church?
I believe that he is not the vicar of Christ on earth. I think that's the name he claimed for himself. I think there were many popes, and I think when you study the history of the popes, you go back and discover that a lot of it was a politics over land. as there was the grant of Constantine that you know, the Vatican had claimed for years and years and years, that Constantine had given them the civil rights or the religious rights over Rome while Constantinople was holding the other rights. But then you find out
that's
not all.
So Dr. Peter Ventura, here on Understanding the Times in Which We Live In Today, and we reach many people across the world, and we have many people, you're telling me, as a Baptist preacher out there in San Diego, California, that the Pope is not the Holy Father of the Church. He's not the Holy. He does not have apostolic ascension. He is not the Pope. He is not the Holy Father. Am I correct?
That's correct. That's what I'm telling
you. Okay. Well,
I am saying that.
Well, you.
I am saying not according to the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's something man-made, and that's something that they created. Something.
Well, Dr. Peter
Ventura,
I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for taking.
Do you know
the
that Martin Luther the Reformer? Martin Luther the Reformer, who was a Roman Catholic, who set out the 98 thesis on the castle door, said he called the Pope his most hellish father.
Wow. Well, Dr. Peter Ventura, folks, he tells you if you are a Catholic, the only way is through Jesus Christ, not through the Pope.
Absolutely.
Not through the Pope. That's what
Mary
that's
won't
what
save
Dr.
you.
Dr. Peter Ventura is saying. Amen. Amen.
The Bible
I've
says,
got to say, Dr.
The Bible,
Peter Ventura, you did it tonight. Thank you. Go ahead, doctor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
The Bible says there's one mediator between man and God. And that mediator is Jesus Christ, not the Pope, not the priest, not your pastor, no one. No one can save you from your sin but Jesus Christ, okay? And wearing a scapula that some church gives you, a scapula that says if you're wearing this when you die and it has a picture of allegedly the Virgin Mary on it, that you will go to heaven. That is not true. You will split hell wide open if you have not received Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible says. Now, there are a lot of men out there claiming things. The Mormons claim that you get your own, your own planet. And there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. And you have to get married in a celestial temple. And if you get married in a celestial temple, you can call out your wife. And so there's a justification for the sexual misconduct of more than one wife. And so there's many cults out there.
Here in America, Dr. Peter Ventura, here in America, there are many Catholics, many Catholic churches. So you're telling me these Catholics who are praying the rosary beads, saying Mary is their salvation, they, according to the Bible, not you, Dr. Peter Ventura, according to the Bible, they are not saved, correct? According to the Bible, unless they believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that what you're saying, Dr.
Correct.
Peter Ventura? The Pope is not going to save you. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Peter Ventura?
That's what I'm saying. Let me hinge that on two things.
Okay.
To clarify this, because if you're a Catholic, you probably haven't read much of your Bible. You're not recommended to do that. You can't understand it, and they tell you you need a priest. But the story goes that when Jesus Christ was crucified, in the temple there was a curtain. Behind that curtain was what was called the Holy of Holies. It's the place where the high priest went once a year to do the sacrifice for the people. And so after the Day of Atonement for the Jews. And so what happened was, on that particular day when Christ was crucified, that little curtain that separated mankind from that Holy of Holies, which represented in type heaven, God's throne, that little curtain was ripped in half. And what that signified was, is that man no longer needed a priest. The priesthood was done. And if you read the book of Hebrews, it tells you that the priesthood was over. And now man could directly come into the presence of God. And that's why it tells you that that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ and the confession that Jesus is the Lord. You see? And so when you study out this thing and they tell you as a Catholic, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, they tell me that Peter, Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church. No, upon that confession. Well, the confession was, who am I? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, You see, and based on that confession, he built his church. He didn't build his church on a man. He built his church upon the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so that's one of the major confusions. And you can get tied up in that stuff. And, you know, Easter, hey, look, we're celebrating, churches are celebrating Easter. Easter's a pagan holiday. It's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus Christ have anything to do with Easter? Christ didn't even die on a Friday. He wasn't died on a Good Friday. The Bible says he died on a Wednesday. It was a bad Wednesday. He died on the Passover, you see? And because of a misinterpretation.
I wanted to get to that, actually. I wanted to get to that, Dr. Peter Ventura, Easter, because we're coming up on Easter Sunday, the Easter Bunny, who's going to bring you nice magical eggs and hoppy, hippity, hoppity, and all that. And these parents out there that say, hey, it's a good thing, you know, I'm going to give my son a chocolate bunny on Sunday, and, you know, and then you wonder why maybe you're not blessed, you know, or why your prayers are not being heard, you know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not God. I can't say. But Dr. Peter Ventura, explain what Easter Sunday is to these people out there real quick, because I know I may not get you next week when we talk about Easter. But so explain, what is Easter really?
Easter is really about the Astarte. In some countries she was called Diana, in other countries. It really goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel in the Bible, and it goes back to Semiramis and Nimrod. And so when you study this thing, you find out that it all has to do with the spring equinox, that she made a liar. She said she married her son. She said that he had died and that he comes back, resurrects in the spring at the spring equinox. See, 40 days equinox is, and by the way, the Catholic Church is 40 days of Lent. But there are similarities, and so when you read the thing, you find out that Easter is a pagan holiday, and it was for pagans, and it was a celebration of fertility. Rabbits and eggs are symbols of fertility. It has nothing in the world to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not tell anybody to celebrate an Easter holiday. Jesus Christ did not tell anybody to celebrate his resurrection. But we do. We know Jesus. To a Christian, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ is resurrected, and it's not just one day of the year. The world remembers Christ twice a year on Christmas and Easter, and they get dressed in their little nice outfits and all that stuff. But that, and then they go to church, and they're pious and holy for 2 days out of the year, and then they live like the devil the rest of the year. And so that's not Christian living. That's a fraud. That's a fraud, and so is Easter. Easter is a fraud, and if you have a computer, well, my goodness, you could look up the roots of Easter in the pagan Mithraism religion from Babylon, and you could see that. Hosea 4:6 of the Bible says, my people are lost for lack of knowledge. You see, it's not what you know that'll destroy you, it's what you don't know. And if you're counting on that rosary bead and you're counting on Mary to get you to heaven when the Bible says the only one that can get you to heaven is Jesus, you're in trouble. And I want you to know something, brother, that saying that, that's like saying, well, it's okay, I'll pray to Mary. That's like saying, well, I got arrested for drunk driving, but I know the judge's mother and I'm going to be okay. Get it?
That was a good one. Hey, I got a question for you. I think there's someone with a question here, and it's area code 203. Area code 203, I think you got a question for Dr. Peter Ventura. Go ahead. You're unmuted. Make it clear, though. Make it quick. Thank you. Very nice. And so, is that your best? 203-265. Area code
203-265. You're live. Go ahead. And they are
counting on him to live a long and happy life.
Hey, 203-265.
That's
you.
Yes, it is. Elizabeth Rondo. Yes. Come on. You're live. Go ahead. I've got many callers on the line. Ask your question. Go ahead.
I just can't stop laughing. Peter is right about the rosary. Like, my sister had passed, but she said you could all the beads would fall off the rosary, and it will get you nowhere. And I could go on and on about how they believe in the Easter. I had worked for a woman, and she was very friendly with this pastor, And I'd have to call him father. I says, I will not call him father because he is not my father. Oh, all the things I could go on and on, Joe. So I'll let you go ahead and talk.
That's good. All right. Thank you. That's Elizabeth Rondo. That's a woman here who's been a supporter of this program for many years. She was born in the 1930s. So she's got a little knowledge here to give to you folks. She was born in the 1930s, by the way. She's an old supporter of this program, and I wanted to get her. And she's from Yalesville, Connecticut. I know you guys are up there getting a snowstorm like crazy. I'm down here in North Carolina. It's 52 degrees, so, but up there in Yalesville, Connecticut, I know you guys are getting buried with snow. So that's great with the rosary. Listen, anyone wants to jump in here, press the number one. All right, we got another one here, 443. Let's go down the line here. 443, go ahead. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, Joseph, this is Brother Mercy.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. You know, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I kind of think that we can do ourselves a disservice by just judging everything by historical records when most of us wasn't even living back then, and we know what happened back then, you know. So I say that to say that, you know, I think the Easter holiday can be celebrated, just like the Christmas holiday can be celebrated. No, Jesus didn't say you had to celebrate no, he didn't say that. However, I think it's good to have a reminder of what happened. Now, should we have the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs? No, of course not. Should we have Santa Claus? Of course not. But I think it could be used as a time to celebrate, you know, these things that occur and to remember what has occurred, because that is biblical, to remember something God has done for you. That's what the Jews do. That's what they were commanded to do under the law of Moses. I don't see nothing wrong with keeping a tradition. We do birthdays to remind us when I was born. I do a tradition to celebrate my birthday. No, the Bible doesn't say that, but that's something I do to remind myself and to celebrate life, and there's nothing wrong with that. So as long as you don't go overboard, you know, with it, I think it has some benefits. It can have some benefits, you know, with it. So, yeah, I agree with what the pastor said to some degree, but I disagree on the other hand, because I think we do need to remember what occurred 2,000 years ago on Calvary. We do need to remember that. We don't need to just not have nothing to commemorate that.
Dr. Peter Ventura, what do you have to say to this caller? Dr. Peter Ventura.
I'm reminded every Sunday, I'm reminded of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And, yeah, okay, we can have a special Resurrection Day service, but we shouldn't call it Easter. We shouldn't name it Easter. Easter should not be connected to the church. Easter is a pagan holiday. And to say that we shouldn't allow historical facts to rule in things is the Bible is a complete historical fact. What do we say about that? Let's just throw that out, too. I mean, history has a part to play in many things, along with geology, geography.
I didn't say fact.
History.
I said record.
History.
I didn't say fact. No. There's two different things.
Records. There's a record. Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ said is a record, right? What Jesus Christ said is a record.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. I didn't say fact. I said historical record. Those are two different things. I could pull up historical records on a whole lot of things. But I wasn't living back then. That's not a fact to me, because I wasn't living back then to know that actually
occurred.
Well,
I wasn't living back then when the Bible was written either.
I'm not talking about
the
Bible
record.
Let's clear it up. I'm not talking about something in the Bible. Easter, no, Easter is not in the Bible. So to call it a fact is just, you know, I'm not calling it a fact. I'm saying, you know, what you're saying, you're going off historical record, what has been done in the past about Easter, and you're using that to judge the resurrection holiday. That's what you're doing. And what I'm trying to say to you is that how did you know that's the only thing they did during this time to say, oh, that's the only thing they did? Because, you know, there are other celebrations that happened where people were doing different things during those times when they correctly celebrated. So it's not just those people who called it Easter. There are other people who did it the positive way. And see, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we focus on the negative and say, get rid of the whole thing, when but you're not understanding.
How does that affect our country today, though? How does it affect our country today? Who are we today as America? You know, are we going to always talk about what happened 3,000 years ago? What's affecting us today in America that we are destroying ourselves as a country? We are destroying ourselves as a country because we have lost faith in God. And that's what the pastor was really getting at in the beginning. We have lost faith in God because we have many different other beliefs infiltrating us. Look, we've got Prophet Muhammad riding on a magic carpet. You know, and we have to respect their beliefs because the First Amendment says so, and they confuse, they're twisting the Constitution around and turning it against us. Look, this country was founded on a Judeo-Christian belief system, and that's what it was. Look, we had slavery back then, yes, but the founding fathers admitted to themselves that it was wrong, and in time, our Constitution would overcome slavery and correct it. And we did. It took a long time, and a lot of people had to bleed and suffer because of it. But yet we get people like Mandelicon calling in here, and we get people like Tyrone and others calling into this show who want to bring the racism factor into this, and it's the black man against the white man. No, it is all men against evil. That's what my show is about. It's men against evil, and Dr. Peter Ventura is bringing a theological perspective here to the program. I don't want you two to be at odds with each other, which you can disagree on certain topics and subjects, but you are all both fighting for the same perspective here. The Lord Jesus Christ, because our country has to have a foundation, and that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I wrong or right?
Hey, Joseph, let me say this. This is what has occurred. Now, it used to be called school is out for this next week, and it used to be a religious celebration. Now it's turned into spring break. You know, Christmas break used to be called Christmas break. Now it's been changed to winter break. So you see, you've gotten rid of the religious, they're trying to get rid of the religious connotation to why school is closed.
They are, I agree.
You see what I'm saying? That's my point. That's the only point I'm trying to make is, you know, now people call it winter break as we're getting out because it's winter.
Because we're not sticking to, but Dr. Peter, hang on, Brother Mercy, believe it or not, you're on the same wavelength as Dr. Ventura, because he's trying to bring sound doctrine back to the table. Sound doctrine. Let's not call it spring break. Let's call it what it is. You know what I mean? Let's not call it something that it's not, Brother Mercy. Let's not bury ourselves in a lie, because a lie, nothing good will become of a lie. Nothing ever good has ever come from a lie. Isn't that amazing? If Jesus Christ was a lie, then for God's sake, nothing in the history of this world ever came good from a lie other than Jesus Christ. Because people have actually turned their lives around by putting their trust, their love, and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I get ready to wrap up this program here tonight, I want people out there to press the number one. We spoke about family tonight, also in the beginning of the program. Mm-hmm. Family. And family is very important, okay? And I've got some other callers here. Let's put them on. We got 21 minutes left. We actually only have 15 left, okay, folks? The clock says 21, but I log in early. So, and we did have a new caller on that says, hey, and we had a caller that says he's going to recommend us to other people. And he said, wow, do you guys really touch people, or are you just, you know, propaganda? And he that was 530. And I want to get him back on here before the end of the show tonight. So stay, hang in there, 530. I'm going to put you back on because I want your opinion on what it was of this show tonight, because we are understanding the times in which we live in today. That's what this show is about. And let me tell you something. This show is growing exponentially throughout the country, throughout the world. And we have thousands of people, thousands of hits on this show. For God's sake, when Howard Stern makes fun of you, you got to be popular.
But anyway, private caller. Go ahead, private caller. Hello.
Hey. Good evening, everybody. I just have a kind of a common question. If I believe in Jesus and I believe in God, but I don't read the Bibles, okay, but I try to live my life to the good, okay, am I still a good Christian, and am I still believing, you know, in the faith?
I'll answer that.
Well, Brother Mercy, let's go with Dr. Ventura first. Dr. Ventura, answer that question, please.
Yeah. First of all, the Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of the brethren together. That's number one. So we ought to obey the word of God, and we ought to assemble together because we are the body of Christ. And receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is a wonderful thing. But there's a reason in it, and God has a gift for you, and God has a ministry for you within the church as part of the church. And you'll never reach your full potential as a Christian if you stay away from the church. Excuse me one second. I often hear people say, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites. But I want you to know that's never stopped anybody from going to Walmart. Back to you, Joe.
Yeah, you're right. They say they won't go to church because there's too many liars and hypocrites, but yet they'll go to Walmart. Hey, how many liars and hypocrites are in there that you don't know about? That's a good point. Brother Mercy, can you answer his question real quick? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the pastor is 1,000% correct. You should not forsake the assembly of the saints. And even more importantly, you should definitely read your Bible because your Bible is a guide to how to live a good Christian life. So, If you don't have a guide, you may get lost. You know, if you don't use a map to go to reach your destination, there's a possibility you can get lost.
But whose Bible?
Dr. Mitchell, answer that question, please.
Well, whose Bible? Well, I mean the Word of God. I believe the King James Bible is the Bible. It's the correct Bible. It comes the manuscript evidence says that it's the right Bible. It's the Bible that's the manuscripts that the apostles used. There's 5,520.
Let's do this. Hang on, Dr. Ventura. I know who this caller is, and we'll get his address here. We'll get his address, and we'll send him the correct Bible to read. How's that? Well, I will send it to him, and we'll send him the correct Bible to read from. How's that sound? So this one, he has no questions other than that, than the study. And it's not just us. So you tell him, what is the correct Bible we'll send him, Dr. Peter Ventura?
We'll send you a King James Bible Authorized Version.
There you go. And
okay,
why is that Bible? Why is that Bible? And I want to get Justin in here. Justin's been waiting a long time. And Justin wants to know why the King James Bible is the authorized word of God. I think we've gone over this already. But, Justin, do you have a question for the pastor? Because I you were excited when I brought him on. Justin, are you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just want to reiterate what he said, and I'm going to try to squeeze as much as I can in the short little slot. But basically, I wholeheartedly agree with him. The King James Version is based off of the Textus Receptus manuscript, and it's the same manuscript that was used by the apostles. Besides that, you have a lot of people out there who will basically say that King James polluted the Word of God. Those are naysayers. King James did not even work on the translation. There were 17 translators, and they based it off of the 1599 Geneva Bible, which was based off of the Textus Receptus, which was the manuscript used by the apostles. Now, let me get into something else right quick. I want to touch base on the whole evolution thing. There's a concept of this that a lot of people refer to as the Big E, and what that means is Hitler's Nazism, communism, Joseph Stalin, Benito Mussolini, all of these guys, their ideology and the atrocities that they committed under their regimes, if you will, their regimes were based on the central component of evolution, like Nazism and the purifying of the Aryan race, et cetera, et cetera. Evolution, or the Big E factor, was not just it wasn't just incidental to these ideologies, if you will. It was integral to them. more so than any other component. When you remove that evolution factor from Nazism or from any other, you know, form of race-based eugenics or genocide, if you will, they lose their coherence. Like the current practice of eugenics in America, if you take the big E factor out of the equation, it loses its coherence. There's no reason to even perform eugenics in this country, which is largely a race-motivated thing. And another thing that I wanted to say, I totally agree with the pastor. I think that both Easter and Christmas are pagan holidays. And when we indulge in those holidays, we bring a curse upon ourselves. And, you know, we've been doing this, I understand, for a while, just like we've been celebrating the Sabbath on Sunday when it's, in fact, Saturday. But, you know, like, it's just like the pastor said, we perish for lack of knowledge. And, you know, most people don't know these things. People are, you know, slowly but surely starting to figure them out. But apart from that, I also want to say that I agree with the pastor. I believe that the Pope is a fraud. According to the Bible, he is a fraud. You know, I personally, I don't believe in denominations. Christ is not divided, period. You know, I'm not passing judgment on anybody. I just say, you know, I think about what, you know, Paul the Apostle wrote, and, you know, like, you know, was you baptized in the name of Paul? Was you crucified in the name, or was Paul crucified for you? Like, Christ is not divided. But, I concur with everything he said. And besides that, going back to the King James Version of the Bible, we have modern translations now. Oh, I'm sorry.
Justin, you're right. I just don't want to get too much time in here. We kind of wanted some people here to disagree with Dr. Peter Ventura, because that's what 530 was saying. Are we just a show where we allow people on to agree with us? And tonight we didn't get anybody to disagree with us, basically. So I apologize, but usually Dr. Peter Ventura, we've had Black Jesus Minister on here, where we've gotten into, you know, we've had Tone come on here, who's a devout Catholic. Tone has been missing in action. We've had numerous callers. We had Caitlyn Jenner call in here. That was part of the Howard Stern Show, actually, prank, where they called in and crank called us. So we have disagreements on this show. But before we start getting ready to wrap it up here, I want 530 here to get his final comment in, and I can give a wrap up to the program. I got him muted. 530, what do you think about the program here so far, sir?
Oh, it's a
go ahead, brother.
Program. And, you know, I didn't wonder if you were propaganda at all. I'm in complete agreement with you. I've been a Harry Brown libertarian for 20 years, the same year I read the Communist Manifesto. My thing is getting through to these people, these leftists. That's what I want to know, techniques to do that, because I've studied this left media, and they're the propagandists. And I just want techniques to convince these people, because they have paid.
We got
to
do that. Guys, my friend, let's do that for the next show. And I'm going to bring Melissa back on here from Ohio, and I'm going to bring some special guests on here. That is a good idea. Next Thursday. Because she stated this a couple weeks ago on the program when we were talking about the school shooting. Education. How do we educate these leftists? What are the techniques we can do to break down the walls of these brainwashed leftists who believe abortion is a good thing, killing innocent children is a good thing, believing in gun control is a good thing? These leftists, techniques. What can we do for techniques? And I'm going to invite some leftists on next week, sir. And this is going to be a great show. We're going to really go at it. We're going to really have a barn burner. And Dr. Peter Ventura, while I've got you on the program, because I don't know if you'll be able to make it next week because I know your busy schedule, tell me, what can we do against these atheists, these Bible-denying backbiters? What can we do to these people? What techniques do you recommend, Dr. Peter Ventura? How can we bring these people to our God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a moral, not even God for that matter, just have a moral backbone to raise their family the right way? You know, what do you think, Dr. Peter Ventura? And that's why I originally brought you on the program. Take a couple minutes, and then we'll get ready to wrap up the program. Go ahead.
I think that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, be in their face, tell them that sin is sin, call sin sin, take a stand for what's right. If evil wants to prevail, all we have to do is just shut our mouths and we'll just sit back and watch. Just like the homosexual agenda started out, we were all laughing at Bugs Bunny running around in a little skirt chasing Elmer Fudd. Wasn't that funny? Ha, ha, ha. Well, look at where we are today. Nobody took a stand back there and said, that's wrong, that's out, get rid of it. It doesn't belong in our society. You didn't take a stand, so look what you have today. Imagine where you're going to be in the next few years if you don't take a stand for Jesus Christ. And so you better take a stand today. Preach that gospel. Be in their face with it. It's not the moral majority. It's the majority of Christians in this country who stand and believe the word of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to preach it and teach it and stand on it. And don't be afraid to name sin, sin. Abortion's murder, and it's a satanic ritual. They're covering their sins with the shed blood of their babies. That's what they're doing. And just like Jesus Christ covered our sins with his shed blood, Satan's covering their fornication with their shed blood of their children. It's a satanic ritual, and we need to take a stand on it and unite in that and preach it. Preach it from our pulpits. One thing that people from Europe said when they came to this country back in the 1800s and the 1700s is that the preaching in this country was something that they had heard nowhere else in the world. And that's what we need to do. We need preachers like Billy Sunday, when he get done preaching, to shut down the liquor stores. Take a stand for Christ. That's what we need to do.
Amen. Hey, how about that, guys?
Amen.
You can't deny that.
Amen.
You can't deny that. You know, I'm not a guy that walks around with a Bible across my chest every day, but you know what? We got to have moral, biblical values. That's what this country is founded on. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. You can't. What I want to do is give a final word to everybody here tonight. Take 1 minute. I'm going to do this. I do this sometimes. I want everyone to have a final word, okay? And just take 1 minute to have one final word about the show, what you heard tonight, and then we'll wrap up the program, okay? Justin, 1 minute. Go ahead, real quick.
Okay, well, you know, I just wanted to say it's been a great program. Like, I've particularly enjoyed this one. You know, just getting into the Bible, I think it's very important. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, I haven't been a Christian very long. I've been a Christian for maybe about 2 years now. And before that, I was actually a Buddhist liberal. I didn't understand anything about the world, mind you. I was your typical brainwashed person. But, you know, I think God utilized me to show people that, I mean, God can call people from the depths of wherever. I mean, you know, I was very far removed away from the Christianity mindset. And, you know, I don't even resemble who I was 2 years ago. And, you know, I just think it's really important for us, you know, to absolutely. Amen. And, you know, I think it's very important for us to bring the Bible back into our society and to show people the power of the word. I mean, The commandments in the Bible are not intended as shackles to oppress society. They're intended as a guardrail to keep us from going over a cliff.
All right, Justin, 10 seconds, my friend.
Thanks for having me on again, and I will definitely tune in next Thursday. And God bless all of you. God bless you, Pastor. It was a pleasure speaking to you. Next caller.
Hey, that's great. That's
Amen.
Great.
Thank
that's
you.
Great. I'm glad. Hey, Justin, thank you so much. New caller, thank you. And I know you got a bunch of issues going on in your life, and that's good that you turn your life over to God. That's a positive thing,
Amen.
Man. Do the right thing. All right, 530, go ahead, 530. Take 1 minute. Just I do this sometimes. I want you to have an opinion about this program because that's important. Go ahead, 530.
All right, buddy. Hey, man, I think it's a really good program. I wanted to say I'm really sorry to hear about your grandpa. Same thing happened to my mom. Got put in a convalescent hospital. I packed her ass home because I couldn't stand to see her there. So I'm really sorry for your position.
Amen.
But, well, I got to tell you, you know, I don't have any faith in God. I've searched for faith forever, but I'm a strong supporter in the Judeo-Christian ethic, and which you know, I would love to have that feeling to feel God, and I just don't. But nevertheless, I have a strong faith in the Judeo-Christian ethic to do unto others. Abortion is evil, you know, and this is all Satan. I've read a lot of Marx, and the biggest thing about Marxism is getting the church out of life. I see them attacking Christians, and I see that this is, you know, this is happening right now. and we got to do something. That's why I brought up technique, because when I discuss with liberals, I mean, they're just so overwhelmed with propaganda, it's hard to get through to them about just basic truths. Anyways, buddy, I really appreciate your show, and I'll be here next week.
Hey, 530, thank you. I hope you aren't here next week. You know what? You're well-spoken, and you know what? You got a lot to offer, my friend. You do. Tell a friend about the program. You know, like you said, we got to make a difference. We got to attack the left. We got to do it, man. We can do it. I'm giving people a voice. Listen, I've got thousands of people on my Facebook page. They are here tonight listening. And you know what? We got to spread the word. Education is the key, my friend. All right, I've got two others that just want to have a closing here real quick. Brother Mercy, go ahead. Brother Mercy and then Mike from Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. Go ahead, Brother Mercy. 1 minute. Go ahead, my friend, quickly. We're going to run out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that it was a great show. I also wanted to say that, you know, I think we need to celebrate these holidays with the, and learn from the Bible at the same time. But also I wanted to say with the gun control thing, Google Buford Act back in the 1960s. Google that, and you'll find out the reason why they had gun control back then. That act was to keep the Black Panthers from unarming the Black Panthers. What they were doing, they were patrolling the civilians to keep the police from shooting unarmed people. And so what happened is people were going around with open arms, carry guns to protect themselves from the police. And just in case you think you're immune to the police, just understand that if you try to protect yourselves, there may be an act to take your weapons from you. So I just wanted to say, you know, so our founding fathers who wanted your right to bear arms to protect yourselves from the government was a real constitutional right. And the reason why it was done back then was to unarm a civilian police force that was trying to protect innocent unarmed citizens. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Amen.
So for all those people that want all those people that want gun control, don't think that they're taking your guns away to protect you, because the police were shooting people, and they're still
All right, Brother Mercy, Brother Mercy, I got to cut you off because I got to get the mic out in Wisconsin. Mike, who is a retired dairy farmer out in the state of Wisconsin. Mike, out in the state of Wisconsin, a retired dairy farmer. Like I said, we touch people from all over the country. Mike, go ahead, take 1 minute, and then I'll wrap it up. Go ahead.
All right, I'd like to thank Dr. Ventura for answering my question. Very, very kind, and I can understand, his reply. And I'd like to say hi to Justin. Haven't heard him on here lately, but I'm sure glad he is. And I welcome to hear him, weeks ahead here. And other than that, it was a good show. This show's getting bigger and popular every week. And you can see why. Understanding the times in which we live in. And, you know, with everything going on in the world, that's about what we're doing. We're trying to understand the times in which we live in. So I'd like to say good night to everybody.
You got that, Ron. You got that right, Mike, and thank you so much. And I know we talked about family issues in the beginning, and pray for my grandfather out there, folks. Pray for him. He's in his right mind. He wants to check out, and maybe he needs to go home. If he's saved, I hope he's saved, and he'll go home. If he's saved, he's going to go home, and he'll be in a happier place. So those of you out there that are close by to him, you know, you need to try to talk to him and make sure he's saved. Because, you know what, right now I tried to talk to him, and he didn't know who I was. But, it's sad. It's sad. It really is. I opened up with that, and I'll close out with that. So, everyone, good night. God bless. I hope and pray all of you and many more join us next Thursday night, because we understand the times in which you're living in. If you want me to call somebody, you want me to fight for you, by all means, all you got to do is call into this show. Good night, everybody. God bless. Take care.